This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have Mata Ora. Bro, how are you doing?
Yeah, kia ora, everyone. Kia ora, bro. Good to see you, Jason.
Now, I met you at a workshop one weekend, and man, your energy is really cool. It's full of wisdom, and I wanted to talk to you to learn more about what it is you know and what it is that you do. And so, yeah, would you like to introduce what it is you do, what you call yourself, and yeah, go from there.
Yeah, so there's been a few labels over the last 20 years within medicine. But with that, having so many different labels, you come to kind of find a way to put all of those together in a simple way, in a few words. So I call myself a health and medicine facilitator, which is basically someone that may work with an individual, a couple, a small group, or a business, or a company, or a sports group. And we look at from a health and medicine perspective, what we can do, what changes we can make to really uplift, improve the health and well-being of the group. And that usually taps into looking at movement and physical stuff, if it's a group or lack of, like in office, it kind of needs movement as well, etc. That, or it might involve counseling kind of stuff, where we talk socially about what's going on and dynamics, or giving a platform and a space for people to express their emotions. And sometimes that's enough to blow it off and clear it. Even providing actual treatment and group involvement and cooperative activities and stuff like this. So, yeah, it's a range. I believe basically medicine is everything. So it's lifestyle. It's the aspects and ways we look at it. So if we can inject medicine into everything, then we're going to approach life with a far smoother and easier process.
Yes, yeah, so it sounds very holistic, very holistic.
Yeah, so a session generally, because most people come individually, may provide contact with massage or acupuncture, herbal formulas, you know, a mixture between Maori, Chinese, and European herbs, depending. And then an availability and the location of where the person is. And then movements and dietary advice and changes, lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. There's generally, so there's a lot of talking that goes on in the session. Yep. And then we basically have a moment where we get into the body and we anchor it, because the body is basically the blueprint to how we choose to experience our world, interact with our world. So it's the library, I call it, the human library. So we check into that, anchor into the body, and send you on your way, implementing as much of the information as possible, you know, and come back for a check-in.
So do you only work in person? Is that how you find it works the best?
It works the best, and it's the greatest preference, but we got to do what we got to do sometimes, you know. So how do I do that with clients in America, you know?
Yeah.
So we do video calls and stuff like that. But kanohi ki te kanohi, wairua ki te wairua is the best, you know. Spirit to spirit, face to face. But, you know, we just do our best, man, whatever, you know. Sometimes it's really crappy to do a video call over certain distances, so it's just an audio call, you know.
Is that a personal attack? Because that's what we're doing now.
If we couldn't see each other's faces and stuff like that, and expressions, then how to do the job, which is basically quickly analyzing the situation with all of the information that they give you, and then trying to find a really good outcome. Well, whatever that is, through Western medicine, through Chinese, Maori, whatever forms that they're into, whether it's spiritual, Christianity, you know, whatever avenues that they're into, amplifying them and knowing that this is serving them and working for them, that's not, let's do something with that. Yeah, that's the key.
And you talked about embodying. So it sounds like an embodied practice where you get people to be more present to what's happening inside and as well as outside, the anchoring.
And that's the reason why I choose to call myself more of a facilitator, even though I prefer to be like a guide or assistant, because that means that I'm not, because the healer concept talks about us basically doing the work for the person, but it doesn't, the only healing that I ever can achieve is the healing I do for myself, you know? And I can always provide and guide other people to do that process to heal. So I get why that word is used, but I prefer to use facilitation just to understand that the power lies within the person who's asking to take steps forward to where they want to be, to set goals, to achieve goals, to to come in alignment with what they want in life, you know.
Speaking of goals, I find a lot of people set a lot of goals and don't achieve them because those goals don't align with their values. Consciously or unconsciously, people don't realize that they have values. Do you want to talk about values?
Yeah, so I mean, for me, that's the key. Like, if you have values, can be kind of like your rituals and so forth, you know what I mean? Like things that help you stick in alignment with your everyday movements and your everyday stuff. They're kind of like boundaries that you set for yourself to generally, not that we need to be scared or that we need protection, but they're basically like guidelines to help us stay within the clear waters, because otherwise we might end up running aground or hitting a rock or something if we're not staying within the right waters, the right parameters or canals that have the depth that we can move in, you know.
That's a good way of putting it, eh? Guidelines. And those guidelines, if we're conscious of our values and have chosen them, consciously and aware, then those guidelines are what we want and going where we want to go. But if we don't know our values, if we're living someone else's values, then we don't know where those guidelines are taking us.
Yeah. A nice juicy one that's been coming through recently for me is like just to be more gentle and kind on ourselves. And so when we're looking at what, let's say, our values are, things that we're abiding by, it kind of becomes work, so to speak, or the thing that we're keeping alive in our life. And sometimes it gets a bit much, you know. So a lot of times people want to take breaks or detach from it or separate or stop doing it. And a nice little juicy one that's been coming through for me is that, you know, when you really understand that you take a break at work, you're still at work when you're taking a break. So, you know, it doesn't feel like you're leaving that space where that you're still doing the work, you're just having a rest, just taking a breather. And a lot of people just feel like, oh, I'm not doing it anymore. They don't want to continue to follow their values or to stay on that diet or to stick to their exercise regime or whatever's been the plan that's been given for them, or the plans and goals that they've set, you know. So sometimes it's okay. You're still on it. And it's okay to do that. Just quickly get back to work as soon as you've had your break, you know, and know that when you're on a break, you're still at work, you're still doing it. And that's relieving sometimes, you know, rather than being putting so much pressure on us or on ourselves all the time. Because we've got so much other people putting pressure on us as well. We've got to reduce the pressure we create for ourselves. You know, this is kind of like the Zen way, so to speak.
Interesting. Then it's making me think of someone who's on a diet and then they quote unquote break that diet by eating a food that they're not meant to be eating. But maybe that's a test and that's part of the diet. Along this diet, you'll be tested, you'll fall off, and that's part of it. So eating the food not on the diet is part of the diet. Can you come back after that? These are tests and challenges that are put on the path before you. If you can overcome them, work through them, even though you're off your diet for this moment, get back on it. It's part of the diet, those tests and challenges. I like that.
Yeah. Otherwise, sometimes you'll see it does the reverse opposite. So people will binge eat. So they'll go really long periods of not having the thing that they really, really, really want psychologically.
Yeah.
And So when they do snap, they'll just go for it and go for it and go for it. And that's a big stress on the body to have those switches. So if you do allow those moments and times where your body's like saying, oh, look, I just want to pep up. And there's a reason for it. And you'll go through the process. And if you do it consciously and aware, then you'll realize why. And it may be going right back to childhood stuff. Mm. You know, and we look and address childhood stuff. We actually move forward and we heal on our own and ourselves, because we've got a lot of stuff from the past that really gets shoved under the carpet and forgotten about and not considered, and subconsciously and unconsciously massively influences every action, every yep. thought, and every word, so to speak, too. You know, like it's just like your father, or just like your mother, or your grandfather used to do that, you know, just like, do you wonder if it's been nurtured or it is nature sometimes?
Sometimes it's not just stuff in your childhood, it's ancestral. Like if, you know, you can go back and read a history book, well, that's just like what my family does now. So there's ancestral stuff or trauma, maybe, if you want to use that word. Do you work much with trauma with people?
Well, to be honest, it's the thing, you know, like you don't, everything from a small injury is physical trauma to, but when we look at medicine, and the way I view medicine is that we see everything as like layers of an onion, you know, so you have the physical layer, you have the emotional layer, and then they have reflections of each other. So that physical trauma is going to probably create anxiety every time you may have to do an action that aggravates it. There's an example of the connection between the different realms or different layers of the onion. And then you have your mental realm. So overthinking or thinking about the things of the shoulders. And when we look at certain parts of the body that have a reflection or an esoteric view, so the shoulders generally represent past and history, the hips used to represent the present, and then our legs and so forth represent the future. And when you look at how the body moves and the energy of the body, it makes sense. So the feet are the first things, the things that carry you into the future. They'll be the leader of the future. So it'll be the nearest thing in our body that can dictate what the future would be like. It takes us there, in the center being the present, because that's where we store and we ought to be. And then to talk about our center. Our center is also, you could liken to being present, you know. So when you're centered and you're present, that's in your center, which is located, you know, like 3 body inches below your belly button, in the seat of your pelvis, or seat of consciousness and awareness, you know.
Is this similar to the third chakra?
The
solar plexus?
But it's more of an area, so it would also include the base chakra, you know.
So it's the bottom, it's the grounding chakras.
Yeah, so we would say the lower third. There's 3 parts, the lower one, the middle one, which is the heart, and then the third one, which is up the top here. And they all work together. Well, ought to work together. In harmony, they work together.
That's cool. Well, you know, I've been called a skin bag of meat. I've been called a donut. I've never been called an onion. So now I know I have layers. So cool. Thanks for that. But that's true. That's true. Yeah, there's all these layers. So I really love that word that you use there. I never thought of it that way. Reflections. Because I believe we have, you know, let's say 5 bodies, the physical, the sexual, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. And they're all reflections of each other. I never thought of it that way. They're all playing off each other. They're just a reflection of the other. That's amazing. That's a great insight for me. Thank you.
And also how we're talking about the transgenerational stuff is also like another form or perspective on the reflection.
Mm.
So you heard of how they say Māori mokapuna? So moko is the tattooed face. So you can, moko kawa is the chin. And then you have the moko mata ora, which is the full face. And then you have, like, I have this on my nose, so it's the moko ihu. So you have kind of certain parts or whole parts. So when, and puna is a spring. So mokapona is when you look into the spring and you see your reflection in the spring. That is what it is like when we look into our younger generation. We're looking into the reflections of who we are to be or who they are to be as a reflection of each other, you know?
Wow.
So ourselves and each other within our family line. And we get that too. We get a lot of people saying, oh yeah, your uncle, you look a lot like your uncle, that one. And there's resonance and similar features and characteristics. So those are examples of how it actually happens in all ways through our family line. Yeah, with those reflections and those ripples. Yeah,
that's huge, man. That's great. I never knew that. But that's a big thing. Like one of the things I teach people is the mirror exercises, where you turn things around, like in terms of judgments, like you're judging this person and that person. Well, turn that around. Can you see that within yourself? So when you're talking about reflections, I also believe that everything outside of you is simply just what's inside of you. It's a projection of what's inside. So it's reflecting back what you are or who you are or why you are or how you are.
Yeah, in the sense, like you're saying, that if we truly within ourselves and interacting with our understanding and our inner knowing and our inner being, then when we connect with our senses, which interact with our external world, it ought to be somewhat a reflection of all of our inner experiences, because we know nothing else other than that. So when we look outward, they're basically just associations and connections to what we already are, have experienced, choose to be, and associate with, you know, and connect with. I hear you.
Yeah, that's that saying, eh? You are a reflection of the five people you hang around with the most. That's wisdom that's shared many times around the world from different people, and it's true. It's true. To me, environment is everything. Environment is key.
Yep,
absolutely. There's a thing in genetics called epigenetics, and that just means above the genes. So a lot of people have these genetic traits, or get these, they get their genes read, and they think, oh no, I'm destined to have this, or destined to get diabetes or obesity or cancer, but not understanding epigenetics, which is, it depends on the environment, right? If the environment is such, then you will get this, and if it's this, then you won't get this. So you can turn on and off genes depending on how you live your life holistically.
These external factors or which are in conjunction with predisposing factors, you know. So predisposing factors would be things that your body has gone through, and it's created maybe a certain weakness, symptoms, characteristics in your body that you have to work with. And then you have the external factors, which is what we call the five environments, so to speak, which is based on the elements. And all elements influence your universe, your body. So that I have storms and summer storms and summer heat and floods, and so creating dampness and all these different types of disharmonies in your body. And nature really does explain most of it best, because it's again a reflection of nature, all of the things that we see within our bodies. So, yeah, environment or epigenetics is a really clear and important way to know that we can heal and be better by our association, by our environment, by our food, drink, water, and so forth. But it's not taught in Western medicine, because the moment it's really understood, I believe a lot of jobs and positions would drop, a lot of... And that's a problem in some ways, you know. Like, imagine it becoming a real efficient hospital system, minimized because disease is reduced, because we have implemented really clear and honest and open strategies for public health and well-being.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. I mean, I've seen business plans from pharmaceutical companies from birth to death. All the drugs that a human can take throughout their lifetime. So that's their goal. Yeah.
It's not even funny, but man, it's the way it is.
Yeah, and epigenetics is well known. It's, you know, it's the last, what, 50, 70 years. It's well known, but it's not implemented. It's not practiced. Doctors aren't prescribing people to change their lifestyle knowing about epigenetics. They're just giving them pills and drugs like that, which is why
Oh,
it's good to people come and see you for holistic advice.
definitely biased.
Yeah. Now you were talking before we got on the call, you were processing a change in your life, and you said the words relaxing back into your values. So I just want to go back to values. What did you mean by that, relaxing back into your values?
Yeah, so I suppose I was in that relationship. I was calling out that I was exploring the depths of unconditional love. So it was some difficult things that I ordinarily wouldn't accept or allow in a relationship. I was kind of doing that, and so pulled me, pushed me outside of my normal space of where I would feel my comfort zone or my center or where I want to be, where I value myself and the people. So relaxing back into that is once I started to have the relationship removed, seeing, wow, actually it's better without. It was fascinating. I explored some questions during that workshop that we did, the intimacy workshop, and one of the questions was, why am I attracted to this relationship? And the thing that came back was mystery. So mystery, I think, came along with excitement and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I have it's and that's important, but not when my values are put aside, you know? So
It's
yeah.
good though that you're aware how you're moving further away from your values, from your center, and you could sense that something wasn't quite right. So I like that word, relaxing back into your values. I probably would have said, oh, it's time to get back to
Well,
work and get back into doing my values, like working hard at it. But I like that relaxing back into your values. Yeah, it sounds a lot more simpler, a lot more easier. And it's how it should be. Your center shouldn't be something you work really hard for. It's right there. You just got to get. Surrender to it, I guess, is another word. Surrender to who you are.
I agree with you. And like I was trying to express before, but just being a little bit more kinder, more gentle on ourselves. And I
Yeah.
think that a lot healthier, you know, to just take it a little bit smoother and easier. I believe a lot of the dis-ease and discomfort that takes places in the world is too much stress or overstress and societal stresses, which put so much toll on the body and on the mind. So if we, the pressures to rush and do things quick and have it now, those kinds of things, I think, create a lot of unhealthy perspectives and movements in our life, and even thought patterns. So when we're a little bit more softer and gentler and kinder on ourselves, I believe it is about a softening, just relaxing, just being kind. And a lot of people don't know what that is, but we can find it, the quicker we find it. And that's what I was saying. It comes from already having awareness and exploring these spaces for a while, you know, by being blessed by being placed in this health industry with so many people. Like when I was studying, just didn't want to leave, you know. It was just the best place with all these good people, and we're all sharing our values, and we all followed the same beliefs and understandings through our study and awareness. We grew together. Yeah, the last thing you wanted to do was to separate from that.
But
Beautiful.
it's your mission now to go away and create that elsewhere, isn't it?
It evolves. You still realize that you relate, you connect, and AGMs and all this kind of stuff, and it goes forth.
That's really cool. I like when it comes to kindness, are you talking more about to yourself, right? Do you work with many people, in terms of having them love themselves more? Do you find self-love is lacking in a lot of people?
I believe that that's a big key to health and well-being, you know, and for myself. you know, and most of the stuff that I base on. And you can see in society, it's been a theme as well. So it must, or even a fad even, that we have to address it and look at it as well. When you look at ancient philosophy, it talks about the I am all the time, the who and so forth. It's the same kind of stuff, the ego, that's all around that same space of the self, and the self-love. So definitely love, self-love is a big part of what the process is, because most of the time when people are naive, ignorant, or unaware of something that's going on in their body, it's because they're not looking at something that's inside them that they may not actually love. So the more that we can bring awareness to that love of that space, which in reflections is physical, emotional, and mental spaces, you know, and so forth, it reflects even into our social interactions and so forth. So yeah. And then pass it on to our children through our stored in our DNA, and then maybe even nurtured through our behavior. So yeah, it's all about self-love and looking into that. And that self-love is actually just acknowledging and accepting and being kind and loving that it's okay to feel like that and be like that, to release it and let it go, because that was how you experienced it in the past, and find a pathway to navigate so that it feels better and it's okay to move forward without having to carry it in that way any longer. To never forget, but to forgive and to move on, you know, to learn and take the lessons and leave all the unnecessary, unserving parts behind. And it's a process. You know, maybe a lifelong process, but the more we do it a little bit every time or every day or in every way we possibly can, it's better. And we can always better. But to the point where it's so minute, it's like it's not even there, that we become so sensitive that even the finest fiber will just activate the process for us still. We're wondering, I thought I've done this work.
Yeah.
You have, you're getting cleaner, you're getting finer, you're getting more refined, you know, go with the process. And it's good to feel it all, to not bottle it up, not to block it. A really important thing that I'd like to share that is in response to all of this is when we look at medicine, is that dis-ease and discomfort comes from blockage, or things not moving, things being stuck, you know, like the depressed mood or the oppressed mood or the suppressed mood. It's all about being stuck and still. So, of course, the opposite to that is health, well-being, which is movement, flow, and the best way, and it's okay because it's healthy and it's a different perspective to stop, to take some time and to reflect, to look at what you need to, but not stay there. That the moment that you realize that this is your vessel and your body, and you have the power to be empowered to control and have the outcomes of everything, really, or how you see those outcomes and reflect on those outcomes, that you can change and shift instantly and start to feel the flow when you can, and move things and shift things as quickly as you possibly can. But again, if it feels like work, take a break. Know that you're still on the job, but you just need a little bit of a step back for reminders, for little lessons on the way, little additions and upgrades that you will receive in going back and forth between the extremes, potentially, to find the sweet spot, to find that neutral spot, that relaxed spot, that center spot, because it's a spectrum, and we have this external environment, which we call other people as well, that we often bounce off, and they're different. They're only there to tell us where we want to be on the spectrum, not there to tell us we're on their spectrum, we should be on their spectrum. which you see a lot of things going on in society like that. So yeah, movement is health and stillness is disease. So move, my friends, and stay moving like the white water. And the more we move like white water, even when we're not sick or sore, we will decrease the potential for the energy to get stuck or blocked, aka for us to be suffering or in pain or in discomfort or disease.
Yeah, it's all about prevention, eh? And there's a quote by Bruce Lee. He says, "I'm not here to live up to your expectations and you're not here to live up to mine. So you got to find your own path and set your own standards." And you're speaking my language, eh? Like when it comes to love, I look at it holistically and there's three pillars. There's acceptance. So in terms of self-love, accepting who you are at this moment. There's forgiveness and compassion. So forgiving whatever you've done, if you've fallen off the path, if you've done something that you regret, or you know, you got to forgive yourself and understand and have compassion for yourself, be kind to yourself. And the last pillar for me is gratitude, is being grateful for what you have and not for what you don't have. Like, look at what you actually have. There's so much you have you don't even realize because we're not bringing conscious awareness to it. So I do a gratitude practice every night before bed, and I find it brings me back to that place of joy and, hey, this is what I've got, you know?
Yeah, I often say, even if you have nothing, you can even lose that. I don't realize that it was something, you know, until after the fact. So have a look around and appreciate and acknowledge that you may have more than nothing. And even if you don't have nothing, honestly, you absolutely have nothing, you'll be very surprised that you might lose something. You know, even if it comes down to a piece of cloth or your finger or your hand or a nail or something, a bit of blood. Yeah. You can always find something to lose in this world.
That's an amazing insight. Yeah, even if you think you have nothing, there's still something that can be taken from you. Wow, that's amazing.
But what's that? The last minute is life. And when we surrender to every day the potential of really dying, we truly live. It's an oxymoron, but a very true way.
Yeah, and a lot of people fear death, but, you know, I've lived a long time with depression and thoughts of suicide, and I tell you what, I don't fear death as much as I fear being depressed again, or I don't fear death as much as fearing that I want to hate myself so much, or I want to hate my life, or hate other people so much that I want to end my life. I fear that more than death. So for people out there who haven't yet had those experiences in the shadow or the valley of death, trust me, there are worst fears. There's worse things that can happen to you than death itself. That's all I want to share.
Yes. Yes. That's true. Thanks, brother.
Yeah. And the other thing you said that I wanted to bring up was, I define trauma as stuck energy. It's energy that needs to be moved. That's all trauma is. And doing the work in terms of looking at your trauma is not trying to remove it, but trying to move it and look into it and see the reflections in the body and wanting it to move and be in flow.
So label it as bad, you know, like or negative or something terrible. It's just something that's, you know, like a part of the whole. When people say, "Oh, I'm sorry for this or that," and I say, "Well, the truth of the matter is don't be sorry, because if you're sorry, then I have to be sorry, because I've done that so many times, being late or something like that. Or, and if I'm sorry, then I have to be annoyed maybe or angry at myself. We can't have that. Otherwise, my actions and my thoughts would just be a mess. So I can't, you know, really accept or go into that flow. We just have to accept things for what they are, and all the bad things that happen to us define us and make us who we are, just as much, if not maybe more influential than the good things that happen to us. So we remove them, like you say, and we just learn to shift them and move them. And a lot of the people that go through serious traumas of many different forms usually are the best helpers and guides for others that are going through the process. And the world's getting so much cleaner and clearer because people are acknowledging that traumas are just a part of who we are, you know? Like the wabasabi, you know, you heard of wabasabi? The Japanese philosophy about the perfection within imperfection, the imperfection that is perfect. Yeah, that it makes the piece so original and so unique, that thing that defines it from all of the pieces that you're trying to make the same.
Ah, is that like when they bring broken things as together with gold?
Exactly.
Wow, yeah, I've heard of that.
It's better from their mistakes, and they're more valuable and more beautiful because of the imperfection that took place in the firing of it to crack.
What you said brings up in me trauma. If you deny your trauma or do not want to look into it, it will define you. But if you look into it, if you turn around and face it, then it will refine you and make you who you want to be. But it's all your choice. It's up to you, right? There's no right or wrong way to live life.
A mean rap man.
Oh, man. Is there anything else you wanted to share, bro, before we finish?
So many things. However, I'm usually better at responding. So, yeah, okay. This is another like gem that I like to often share as well.
Please.
It's about the hierarchy of energy. The hierarchy of energy. If anyone knows me, that often will hear me probably talk about the hierarchy of energy. A lot of my workshops and stuff like that will generally based around energy because it's an overlooked space. But I do believe that if we acknowledge one of these greater or deeper blueprints of the universe, so to speak, then we can have a clearer perspective of the world.
That statement that you just said is quite sad, that energy is overlooked. Isn't that sad? Energy is overlooked. Everything comes from energy. Everything is energy. And it's sad that we're overlooking the thing that we come from. That is just sad. Yeah, it's true and it's sad.
It's like just burning two ends of the string, you know, and they're finally going to meet. It's all a part of the process, like I said before. The great almighty being has created all things under the sun and moon, good, bad, ugly, and beautiful. And so it's really a part of the process. And that always helps me have compassion for those that may be holding a space that may be ugly to many or may be difficult in the world. But someone in some ways has to do it for all those people on the other side to stay on that side and to be reminded not to come over here, and, you know, to remind us of who we are and where we want to be and where our future is going. The percentage of the adversarial energy, I believe, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we move further into the golden age or the age of light, or, you know, the white age, we say in Māori, the age of peace. Mm. As we head closer and closer to that, it's easier for me to have faith and to accept and have compassion for a lot of the little things that are taking place, you know.
So you were going to share the
hierarchy of energy.
Yeah.
So the hierarchy of energy is basically we can live 3 weeks without food. We can live 3 days without water. We could live 3 minutes without air, but we couldn't live 1 moment without life force. Without energy, life force, because if we don't have life force, then we're basically dead. Then we require all of those other things that I said for us to have true life and existence in this way. You know, as a spiritual being and a physical body, that's what we require. All of those are necessary things for our health and well-being and for our space on this planet. But if we overlook one of the most important ones, then we may be overusing. And you can see so many people are consuming way more than they need. So if they learned how to practice the base form and receive source or base energy and then breathe well and have a better intake of oxygen, then it will reduce the capacity for them to have to drink or eat as much, because their body will be sustained through basic and simple forms of energy. And so that's why people teach breathing exercises. I've been getting lots of results from breathing exercises, but I still beg to differ that it's important to acknowledge the energy side, energy practices. And you may find energy practices will be things like Tai Chi, Qi Gong, yoga. You know, not all practices of yoga acknowledge energy, but if you acknowledge energy in your practice, then it's fine. You can always be the one activating it, and you'll find the way to activate it. If not, someone will guide you, or if not, the energy will eventually, if you keep on looking for it. What other forms? Meditation, you know, static and dynamic forms of meditation, all these kinds of practices. If even you could say to the level of aerobics, practice in a certain way, will also provide that. Martial arts also teaches you fundamental values. Many indigenous practices as well, and their forms of dance also help you invigorate this form of energy, like hula dancing and stuff like that teach you all practices to activate this form of energy in your body and to manage it. Because imagine trying to get your hips going like that for so long, so far. It's amazing. They're tapping into a form of energy, you know? And so, yeah, that's a really important part that I often see is overlooked in a lot of my workshops that I provide, would be generally energy-based. Teach you to feel the energy, become aware of the energy, whether that's in diet, whether that's in movement, or whether that's in thought patterns and philosophy, you know, and concepts. Yeah. So, energy practice.
Yep, that's so true. I mean, one of my teachers says you can work out, but if you work out too much, you get stressed and can break down. So you need to work in. So you can do, like, in terms of resistance training, half the volume or half the duration. You can still do movement, but working in. The goal of the movement is to cultivate energy. So it sounds like you're talking about movements that cultivate and movements that activate.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, nice. Nice little addition and package. Nice.
Yeah, cool, bro. Now, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for coming on. It was an awesome chat. Is there anywhere you want to share where people can find you? If they want to work with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Facebook. And,
what's your handle there? What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Mataora Rungua Hotoke on Facebook. And if you just put in Mataora, Mataora, you'll be able to see me come up. I should be one of my first ones there. And if you want to book in for a session or something like that, please welcome. We could do video, but face to face is best. You know, usually it's about 2 hours our first session, where we've got to have a quick examination and look into it.
And you're based out in Tauranga?
Yeah, I'm in Tauranga. But yeah, like I said, if it needs to be via voice, just for advice of some sort, or video call, it's all doable, but preferably you want to meet up. Sometimes I head up to Auckland as well, so watch out. Sometimes on my Facebook we can befriend each other.
You going to head out to Raglan anytime soon?
There were plans, but haven't locked any of them in yet, but when it does, put into my Facebook, and if anyone's over there, we can meet up for some sessions and so forth as well. Cool. See how it feels.
Well, thanks, bro. That was awesome. I got quite a few insights. The language you're using brings up a lot of stuff for me, so I really appreciate this. This was awesome. Have a good rest of your day. Cheers.
Yeah, awesome. You too, brother. Yeah, thanks, everyone.
And that was Mataora, who I am going to call a medicine man. A man with the plan of helping you open up doors and pathways within yourself to heal yourself. I love his holistic perspective. Look him up on Facebook. He's an awesome guy. I really appreciate the work that he does, because it is good work. It is work that is done for the good of others. And we need more people like that in the world today. And that's it from me. So remember, stay free, be yourself. Know that you are loved and that you are love. Kia kaha.